Welcome to It's All Recruiting, the show that looks at everything through the lens of recruiting. I'm your host, Jim Stroud.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, time for another action-packed episode of It's All Recruiting. I'm your host with the most, Jim Stroud. It's been a while since I've had a podcast. What can I say? I'm so sorry. I guess I've been busy working. So I haven't had as much time to do as many of these podcasts as I would like, but hopefully I will do more of them in the new year. That is my hope. That's my plan. If you like that, please send me a tweet at Jim Stroud. And let me know, you know, while I'm thinking about it, let me know the type of topics you would like me to explore a little bit further on this podcast. I would love to hear from you. Yes, I would. Okay, today's topic is something that is near and dear, I think, to a lot of different recruiters out there, sourcers too, but recruiters mostly, and that is candidate engagement. That's what I want to talk about this episode, the secrets of great candidate engagement. Ooh, I think that's what I'll title this podcast. Here to discuss the secrets of great candidate engagement is my mystery guest. Mystery guest, if you would, please introduce yourself and tell us who you are and what you do.
Hey, I am Chris Bakke. I'm one of the co-founders of Interviewed.com. And Interviewed is a startup that we founded earlier this year, and we help employers find the best candidates for the right role out of a huge pool of applicants. So sort of helping you answer the question, you know, we have 10,000 applicants a month. We have 10 roles to fill. How do we actually, you know, handle that filtering? And so we use job simulations and assessments to actually make that happen.
Now, that's interesting, especially in terms of our topic, because I know that people will apply for jobs, and then somewhere in the process, they'll say, I got something to do, or this is too long, or this is too boring, and they just sort of drop off. You encountered that a lot yourself?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, one of the reasons that we actually founded this company is because my co-founders and I worked together, and we ran another company that, we scaled really fast. So we went from about 10 of us to 60 in the U.S. very quickly. And we were growing a big international team overseas, and we saw this happen all the time. We used a couple different ATSs in that time frame, and we would see our own candidates, whether it was for a very entry level role or something that was at the executive level, and people would drop out of the process at sort of all stages of that funnel. We didn't have a great way of sort of tracking that and getting lots of data and analytics of sort of answering that question of why. And when we sort of looked at our own process and started to do some measurements on it, and again, this was at our previous company, we realized that internally the process was, I think, faster than average, but to the candidate, it can just feel like decades, that you're sort of in between waiting to hear from somebody. You're giving candidates homework and you're waiting to hear back. Candidates get busy, they forget. A huge theme about, why we created this is to create a more engaging process, for each candidate and for, the companies that are doing, lots of hiring. We see that with our clients all the time. And part of our job is actually to, engage candidates. We do that in a lot of ways. And I think really in, HR broadly, one of the things we're trying to do is find new and better ways to engage with candidates. And so, we use a lot of text messages at Interviewed, and we found that that's an awesome way for employers to, get in touch. There's tons of, services that you can use to do this. We sort of actually have built our own internally, and the idea is that, if you're applying to a role and you're sort of on the go and maybe you're working at, you're working one or two jobs already and you're working, 8, 10, 12 hours a day, so the last thing that's top of mind often is all of those follow-ups from, different HR managers and recruiters and, all of those applications that you've just put out on Indeed and Monster and Craigslist and all these different job boards. And everybody's getting back to you at sort of different steps, and remembering to actually follow up and know where you're at in the process can be really hard. And so, getting on candidates' levels and sort of moving into, 2015, almost 2016, we should be using, more engaging methods outside of just, stuff like email and stuff like, form templates to engage with our candidates.
Now, I imagine that candidates would opt in into this texting, right? You don't just automatically send a message without them giving permission, or
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it is all opt-in. You know, they have to, at some step in the process, you know, they're providing their phone number. You know, lots of our employers are using this, and they're seeing actually pretty big lifts in candidate engagement. We just wrapped up an internal case study for a client that is using SMS and using texting to actually engage better with their candidates. And from a top of funnel, basically what this employer was doing is asking the candidate just to answer a brief, very, very brief, this takes 5 or 10 minutes, series of questions about themselves. And they found that only 50% of candidates were actually completing the survey. So only 50% of their candidates for a, you know, very, very well-paying job were actually taking the time to answer a 5 or 10 minute survey about, you know, sort of their background and sort of going outside of just submitting their resume. They started moving toward a hybrid of emailing and texting candidates, again, with an opt-in of saying, you know, I want to stay up to date on this position via text and via email. They actually ended up, you know, raising engagement to, I think, north of like 75% on that survey. So they got a pretty big boost just from sending a series of 3 emails and texts over the first week from when those candidates applied. So I think as we start to see more things like that, I think that, you know, candidate engagement is certainly, you know, up for a lot of innovation and a lot of change. And I think, you know, texting and emailing, sort of rotating those different mediums of engaging candidates at the top of funnel is just the beginning. I think that there's all sorts of ways that employers, can better, you know, sort of get on a candidate's level and stay in touch with them about a particular role.
You know, I think would be interesting, something I would like to see as a candidate for, if I were a candidate for an opportunity, if I were getting text messages from a company, and one text message said, "Hey, we got your resume. You're good. We'll be in touch. Click reply or stop if you want to receive these messages." And I'm thinking about Redbox because I get these notifications about them from different movies. And then let's say 2 weeks later or 3 weeks later, "Hey, we are still accepting resumes. We've received so many. We're evaluating so many right at this point. We'll keep you in touch. We'll stay in touch. Go. Boom." You know, do you want to continue to get these messages, yes or no, that kind of thing. And then maybe over time, get messages that say, "We're interviewing people. We've shortlisted. And if we didn't contact you, you're not on the list. Better luck next time." Something like that. If I got messages like that every, 2 or 3 weeks or something like that, let me know about a job that I've opted in to want to hear about those kind of updates. That's something as a candidate I think I would appreciate. Is that something you guys do or something experimenting or heard of anything like that happening before?
Yeah, we are. I think we experiment with this a lot. It's something that, you know, we're constantly, playing around with and different ideas around, you know, SMS. We have some of this for employers right now. Because again, I think one of the things, and not even over the scope of many weeks, and for us, it's most of the experiments have been over just several days. The time to fill jobs, especially in a lot of the markets that we're operating in, is actually, you know, pretty low. In others, it's really high. And so there's this weird thing happening where in some sectors it's actually taking longer than ever. We've read and we've studied to actually, you know, fill a role. And I think part of that even though the economy in a lot of ways is really thriving and there's tons of jobs out there, when you put so many different things sort of, you know, in the process and you segment things into, we have, you know, 9 different steps in sort of our applicant funnel for applicants to do, or steps for them to complete, or phone screens or interviews or whatever. One of the things that we've seen is sort of bundling a lot of those things together, having the candidates complete multiple steps at one time. So instead of getting those texts, like you're saying, over the course of several weeks, months, whatever, it's sort of this blast effect where they feel like, you know, the candidate should feel like they're moving through your process very, very quickly. And so that's one of the things that we always encourage employers to, you know, recreate. I think every employer has different advantages over others. But if you can be the employer where you can almost guarantee that one way or another, a candidate is going to get to an offer or to a no thank you, but thanks for applying in, you know, 7 days, 10 days, 12 days, that's really, really an amazing candidate experience. So when we think about candidate engagement, it's not just about, you know, the different mediums of video and SMS and email that we're using to actually engage them throughout the funnel. in some ways, speed is actually, you know, the best advantage that you have. And so if you can condense all of those, you know, texts, and this is sort of the thesis that we're testing, if you can condense those texts and those emails to a very, very short time frame, one that's almost unheard of in your industry or in your category, to getting, you know, candidates to either an in-person interview or to a no thank you in just a few days, that's a really, really awesome experience from a candidate's perspective. Because, hey, at least if I don't get the job, I know quickly, which is way better than I'm going to hear or get from, you know, 80, 90% of employers.
Very cool. Now, is there an option as well? I'm thinking from the candidate perspective. Say I didn't get the job that I was looking for, but I like the company so much. I would like it if I could get notification of other opportunities for the company that open over time. So let's say I want to basically follow a company, and when something comes up in the job title field or the job market that I want to do for that particular company, I still get notifications that way over time.
Yes. Yeah. No, I think that that's great too, and I think, you know, I've seen especially job boards, I think, are doing a pretty good job of this of trying to engage candidates more long term. So obviously, you know, LinkedIn has the ability to follow companies. I think Glassdoor is doing a pretty good job of this, of saying, hey, you know, you're going to have lots of different jobs, lots of different, you know, positions within your career. And so taking sort of a broader, more high level approach and saying, you know, giving people the ability to follow companies based on positive reviews that they've read, and sort of in it for the long term, as you've said, where, you know, hey, you may not be applying to a job right now and you may not be ready for a while, but on average in your industry, every 2 years, you're going to be changing jobs. And so, you know, how can these, and I think job boards have approached it first because I think that they have the most to benefit. But certainly I think it's a great idea for individual employers to, you know, offer that ability to candidates. And I think one of the things, probably just, you know, my experience as you know, somebody who's been through this process as a job seeker and as a candidate many times before is there really isn't anything out there for candidates. And so a lot of the, you know, if I go to a company and I say, hey, this is a really cool product, I want to stay engaged, you know, there's probably not a great way for me to do that one-on-one with the company. And so I think that that could be another great, you know, thing for companies to explore. Just like you have the ability for investors to stay interested in you over time, you have the ability for your customers to stay interested. You know, what about candidates? And so is there a specific, you know, newsletter or content stream or something that you can give them? It's probably a little bit slower than what you would get, you know, customers. So every quarter or every 6 months or something like that could be a really solid idea.
You know, I was talking to someone about something along these lines just today. And what I was suggesting to them was that they turn their ATS into its own community. I mean, if you think about it, an ATS is a community full of people who have expressed some sort of interest in your company in some shape or fashion because by virtue of them applying for a job. And so one thing that I suggested to them was, why don't you have exclusive content for people who have applied for a role in your company? Maybe have a webinar or some kind of Google Hangout or something, webinar, and you basically send invitations only to people who have applied for a job in the past, I don't know, 6 months or whatever, right?
Yep.
And say,
yep,
because you've applied for a job, we're giving you this special ticket to our secret webinar that we're talking about, this super technology that, or this new cutting edge strategy we're doing or something, whatever that's of interest to that particular audience. And then I would think that makes them feel more special, or at least make them feel like, okay, you acknowledge that I'm here. I'm not just, my resume just wasn't in the black hole, but you're actually looking at the resumes in your ATS. Thank you. So I'm going to check out your webinar. What do you think
totally
of that kind of approach?
I love it. I think, you know, as we started off the conversation around candidate engagement, this is sort of maybe candidate re-engagement. You know, we're spending so much money to attract good candidates, and you probably have hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands of them in your ATS, and at some point they were interested in you. And so I think just the way that, you know, marketers have thought about, you know, acquiring leads, there definitely is a highly customized approach that I think would work long term. I don't know if anybody's doing this, but I, as you're, you know, describing it, I think it's a fantastic idea, and it's probably a huge business. You know, there are some startups that are sort of doing the I guess, data mining of your ATS. Mm-hmm. They'll come in and help you sort of figure out, you know, based on, you know, anything that's changed about the positions that you're offering against sort of the resumes and LinkedIn profiles and backgrounds of your tens of thousands of candidates that you have sort of on archive or you know, do not hire, who would be a good fit for that role. But I don't know if it's a customized approach. I think from my understanding, you know, primarily it's just sort of alerting the HR managers and the recruiters internally to say, hey, this candidate might be a good fit. But I love the approach of sort of doing it proactively and actually just pinging that candidate even without a recruiter getting involved and having some, you know, custom content saying, hey, by the way, this role just popped up, and given your background, you know, we'd love to chat further. That sounds fantastic.
Oh, thank you. I'm thinking that, I'm wondering, let me get your input on this. A lot of recruiting across the board tends to be reactive. There's a job, so let me find somebody. There's a job, let me find somebody. But I don't really see a lot outside of my organization. I don't really see a lot of recruiters being proactive. And I think part of the reason for that, or the main reason for that, is because they have so many recs they have to fill at one particular time, and they don't really have the time to be proactive. So I'm wondering, should it be a situation where recruiting and marketing sort of merge, and marketing, the marketing department is the one that's sort of in charge of keeping candidates warm once they've applied or once they've engaged with the company in some way, and they're providing the content, and they actually are a part of the recruiting function, or maybe recruiting reports up into marketing. I mean, what do you think of that?
I 100% agree. I think that that's the best way to approach it. I mean, if you think about this and tie it back to, you know, just traditional, you know, B2B or B2C marketing, it's really hard to imagine why you would spend, you know, $3 acquiring a new, you know, B2B lead for your business and then reach out to them once and then sort of drop the ball long term. I mean, there's this whole industry, right, around sort of nurturing leads, and you have companies like, you know, obviously like Salesforce, sort of, you know, one of the leaders, but helping salespeople, helping marketers. You have HubSpot, Marketo, all of these different ways of sort of engaging with leads over really long periods of time. Because, you know, as we know in marketing, you know, we've read studies that say actually, you know, to get the highest engagement, you need to reach out to people 7 or 8 times over a very long period of time. And so why you would be spending, you know, why we're spending as recruiters, you know, even more money to, quote unquote, acquire a candidate, whether that's through the time of directly reaching out to them or you know, whether you're using a job board. Either way, you know, these things are they cost money. And so, you know, you've spent lots of money to get candidates into your pipeline. And sort of, you know, dropping them after one attempt or dropping them because they didn't fit one role within your organization. I think the problem is just what you described it. It's really hard. It's really hard when you have even 3 different roles and sort of, you know, I've struggled with this when I've, you know, done recruiting and have been interviewing people at previous companies where I might have, you know, 6 or 7 or 8 different recs open. And so I'm interviewing for somebody for customer support and I'm going, wow, she's probably a much better fit for a sales role. And so I'm going to ding her on this customer support job. And in fact, in the back of my mind, I've sort of forgotten that we have, you know, inside sales roles. And so transitioning those conversations over to, you know, whether it's a role that would be a better fit within the org, whether it's, you know, something that we say, hey, you know, here's the feedback in terms of the specific skills or the specific attributes that we're looking for. Let's have a conversation around, you know, what you're looking for and sort of, you know, where you want your next role to be, and see if we can create a match within the organization. That's really tough because I don't know if there's a product or a set of tools out there that's fixed it. Again, it's sort of one of the things that we're trying to do at Interviewed on a very small scale right now, which is, you know, credentialing people based on, you know, specific skills that they have and then matching those skills to a role. And so how do we as recruiters, you know, sort of do this at scale? It's a really, really big problem, but, you know, certainly approaching it as a marketer, and that's the way we approach it. Again, that's one of the reasons we engage, you know, people with SMS and with video and with, you know, some custom content, because it's like, hey, we would do the same if we were trying to acquire a customer for our business. And so if we're looking for the top talent and, you know, people who are going to rock at this role, they're probably very busy and they're probably hearing from lots and lots of other employers. So how do we stand out? How do we, you know, actually get their attention? I think it really does take a tailored, custom approach that's very similar to what, you know, somebody who's running marketing would approach it as.
Yeah, and to piggyback on that, because I had this idea as you were talking. If someone made this as a function on the ATS, or maybe something you guys can do or someone listening, but if I could go to my ATS and press a button and I can say, okay, 20% of the applicants in my ATS system are engineers in California who average, you know, $100K salary each, and 14% of the people in my ATS are in sales, and 20% of people in my ATS are in management, something like that. And I could at a glance see, okay, the people who are applying for jobs that are in my ATS, they are in the fields that I want to recruit for, and they tend to be in the locations that I recruit for. So I see a visual representation of what I already have, of people who have already expressed an interest. This incentivizes me to spend more time with the people who have actually applied, as opposed to spending money on various job boards to try to find the people that I already have in my database. And I think part of the reason why people don't spend their don't really devote a lot of time to the applicants they already have is they can't easily see at a glance what they already have in their hands. And I think that, plus it's the, you know, the grass is greener effect. You know, I want what's new and shiny out there. And I think it's also part of the reason. I think it's also that some hiring managers tend to think that people in the ATS are less valuable than people who are currently working somewhere else, which I never really understood that, because people can be applying for multiple reasons. They could be tired of where they are right now. They may think layoffs are coming. It's not simply because someone doesn't want them. That's why they're in ATS. But
totally.
I'm rambling there. What do you think of that?
I think it's great. I mean, I think part of the problem is really a data problem. It's hard to structure this, right? I think, historically, what we've dealt with as hiring managers is this, you know, widely differing array of different resumes, where some people will put, their past salary on a resume, or you'll capture it at some point in the funnel. But then somebody else takes over the top of the funnel within your org. And so they say, well, we don't want salary information anymore. And so really, when you look across the board, I mean, outside of, you know, your full name, your email, your phone number for these candidates, it's like everything else is a big question mark from what we see. We work with, a pretty large set of customers that are hiring hundreds of thousands, you know, sometimes millions, you know, actually looking through millions of resumes per year. And oftentimes what they actually collect on applicants will change two or three times during a year. And so it's really tough to go back, because there's sort of no gold standard in terms of what the data, the top of funnel information that we're collecting from candidates, to go back and really zero in on that. And so I think that, this is one of the reasons that I think lots of startups are using, you know, AngelList, for example, as their job board. Simply because it helps, you know, structure a lot of that information. Everybody has to sort of give a reason. Everybody gives geographies in terms of not only where they're based right now, but where they'd be willing to relocate. People are giving salary information. A lot of these details that are just really hard to capture off of a resume. And I think that that's great. And that's definitely where I see, the top of funnel in terms of the application side moving. But for employers, it really is just a data structuring issue, where it's hard to zero in based on, you know, these hundreds of thousands of pieces of paper that you have, cover letters and resumes in your ATS, and actually, you know, structure all that information. Because even if you tried to zero in on, you know, awesome salespeople who have 5 years of experience with enterprise sales, how do you actually, you know, query that in your ATS? And so, there's a number of companies out there that I think are trying to, you know, pull text and pull data and pull insights off of resumes and start to structure them in a better way within an ATS. But I think a lot of those, you know, technologies are pretty early on. But it's certainly that's sort of another very interesting trend that I'm sure we'll see, over the next several years.
Sure. And a related trend is something I've been reading a lot about too, how some companies are putting less emphasis on educational requirements and more on experience and what's the word I'm looking for? The potential. They're putting more emphasis on potential. I'm thinking of Google, for example, how they were famous for, you know, everyone had to have a extremely credentialed to work there. And now they put more of an emphasis on can you actually do the job kind of a thing. And I think it was also Ernst & Young or one of the other big accounting firms. I think some other big consultancy was putting more emphasis on people who have the potential who could be trained for a role. It's something that they had an interest in more so than someone who was extremely credentialed, like a PhD or something like that, which makes me think that a lot of companies are going to start using more assessment tools to see, okay, can you do the job? Are you trainable? Because a lot of things that I've read, and I'm sure you have too, and a lot of other people listening to this podcast have heard about the labor shortage, and it's getting harder and harder to find people with a particular skill set. So now the emphasis is on, do you have the basic building blocks that we can train so that you can become the person we want as opposed to coming to the job already experienced? And so I think tools like the one that you do will be very interesting to a lot of companies over time. Even now, not just over time, but especially now.
Yeah. No, thank you. Yeah, we appreciate it. And that's certainly a big bet that we're making, here at Interviewed. And I think we, outside of just, helping companies with this, we try to live it and we, breathe it internally. I always say, I think we have a really fantastic founding team. Two of my co-founders never went to college and the fourth went to MIT, right? And so, even amongst our founding team, our sort of, when you look at our education backgrounds, two of the four of us don't sort of check a lot of those boxes that employers would traditionally look for. And they're, two of the best developers, probably, in the world, I would say, certainly, two of the best developers that I've ever had the privilege to work with. And amongst other, on the non-technical side, we have this awesome employee named Allie, and she has her background's in theater, right? And she's right now our operations manager. And so she has a whole team of people that, report to her, and she's an amazing account manager, amazing operator. But when, if we were to look at her resume and not hire her based off of her skills of just being, so empathetic and so amazing with customers and, really diligent and on top of, huge amounts of work that she has to do. But I'm looking at her resume, I'm like, wow, this woman has a background in theater and she was on Broadway and she's into opera and stuff. And it just didn't, none of that would check any sort of boxes that I'm looking for as a hiring manager. But obviously, we're using Interviewed to interview people, which is, good. Internally. And so, we were able to sort of blindly, remove all of our biases about, what this candidate is good and bad at. And when you actually can hear somebody on the phone, when you can watch them write emails, when you can, if it's a financial analyst position like Ernst & Young that you were mentioning earlier, if you can see a financial analyst work in Excel and you sort of can remove all of these other cognitive biases that you may have about, their background, where they went to school. She's a triathlete. I'm a triathlete too. Let's definitely hire her, bring her in for an interview. When all of that stuff is removed and you can just focus on, is this person rocking it on the phone? Can they write amazing emails? We think makes you a much, much better organization because you're going to end up with much better talent. And we work actually, we're doing some work with Laszlo Bock, who you mentioned earlier, who's the head of people ops at Google. And his team has really transformed, Google's vision for how they're hiring people. And certainly, from all of their internal studies over a decade of doing this, they've found that work samples are by far the most predictive method of hiring, followed pretty, in sort of secondarily by structured interviewing. And so using those two things together, which I think lots and lots of awesome ATSs are out there that help tremendously put together a better structured interview. And so when you compare that with a work sample of actually watching somebody do the job, it ends up, getting you really 10x candidates across the board.
Very good. Bring to mind a final point because I'm looking at the clock and our time has flown by.
Yeah.
Another key to great candidate engagement the guest would be to speak to the potential in candidates and not just what they can offer the company right this moment. I think a lot of job descriptions say, I want you to have this many years of experience in this. I want you to have exactly this and exactly that, and then we can talk. I think it might be better served for a company to say, hey, we basically want you to do this, but it's no telling where you can go inside the company. I wrote an article, it's on my LinkedIn profile, called The One Thing Missing from Job Descriptions. And basically, my argument is that the one thing missing from job description is where this job could take you inside the company. You know, maybe at the bottom of the description, say 12% of the people who have this job were became a senior level whatever within 2 years or something like that. Or people who start off at this job, they took a lateral move, they went over to some other position inside the company. You know, I think companies could do better engagement by selling the career path of what a candidate can do and how far they can go inside the company instead of being so focused on what the immediate need is. Although I understand you need what you need immediately is important, I think it's also important long-term to say whatever job that we're recruiting for is to get you inside of a company. And once you're inside the company, there's no telling how far you can go. Here are examples of people who started here at the company with the role, with this particular role, and now they're a CTO or now they're a CFO or what have you.
Yep.
So, great conversation. Time flew by. Okay. Thank you so much. If somebody wanted to get in contact with you and learn more about your company, where could they go?
You can go to interviewed.com or feel free to email me directly. Again, my name is Chris, and you can reach me at Chris, C-H-R-I-S, at interviewed.com.
Well, thank you so much, sir, for being on the podcast. It's All Recruiting. Thank you so much for listening. If you were not there, then I would be here talking to myself. So thank you for that. If you would, check out the links in the podcast description because they are there for you. Finally, if you love what you heard, hate what you heard, or not quite sure what you just heard, I want to know about it. Connect with me on Twitter at Jim Stroud or LinkedIn or Google Plus or pretty much anywhere you find me online. I'm everywhere, everywhere. Okay, enough of that. Until next time, one last word spoken three times to my people at Randstad Sourceright. Love, love, love.